Sister Bear home, having some problems with headaches and asthma. And Sister Schumacher went through a procedure today, and she's just regaining her strength. Amen. Sister Sabotic, terrible headache. I'd like to see God answer some prayers.
Amen.
I don't know how many dozen times I've heard this story before I pastored. My pastor, when he came into the church, he prayed for 9 years before he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember he said he went to a men's conference and went up to the altar and started praying for the Holy Ghost like he had so many, many times. And I remember him saying this at the end of a prayer, he just went, ah. And at the end of that, ah, there was this word that came out. And it increased his faith. So all of a sudden, he began speaking in a perfect language. He turned around and everybody had left, went to the dining hall, and he got there, and somebody who he never met before asked him what his name was, what he did, and he couldn't speak in English. 9 years. And suddenly. But as a result, years later, he started pastoring a church which just grew so fast. It was incredible. I don't know what you're waiting for. Sister Savonic, Brother Frank Tompkins, Brother Todd Tompkins, Brother Sister Marquardt, Sister Kramer, those who have been praying and praying and praying. When you get to the end of your rope, you need to tie a knot. Say, God, I'm still trusting in you. I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. And it happens because we don't give up and we pray. I want to encourage you. I know so many of you are so faithful to Saturday morning prayer, but I'd like to encourage you to come Friday night at 7. We're going to start something a little different, praying the tabernacle and show you the value of it. And like I said Sunday, if you'll just add on, like the Shunammite did, I wonder if God wouldn't come and visit you. Do something that you've been praying for a long, long time. I've said to people this, I've said, just come to one Bible study. If you don't like it, you don't ever have to come back. And you know what? They always come back because God does something. You just come to one Friday night and see what happens. Lord, we're grateful. God, we're grateful for a God who's so interested in every minute area of our lives. It's not just the big things, but everything. That you're mindful of us. That you already know about these people and what they need. And you've said, we have not because we ask not. So God, we're asking.
Amen.
We're asking for healings, deliverance,
Amen.
A protection,
Amen.
And adding on, God.
Yes.
Stir something up within us, O God, that causes us to seek after you,
Amen.
Hard after you, God. And bless the offering, bless the tithes,
Amen.
Bless your word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
While you're standing, I don't know how this happens. I really don't. It happens just so often. Brother Portman got up here and used my scripture text. What are the possibilities? So if you'll turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28, starting in verse number 9, Isaiah prophesied of the Holy Ghost. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, those who really want truth, you can have it. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and with stammering lips or a foreign language and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. You know, why you're here tonight, it's a refreshing. Here's what I want you to see. Yet they would not hear. Lord, again, we're asking your blessing on your word and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you also turn to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, Jeremiah chapter 6, starting in verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. The old paths, the old watchmen, but they would not listen. And then Acts, the 9th chapter, starting in verse number 1, you know the story. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Here's someone who thought they were saved, but they weren't. God stopped him in his tracks. Perhaps God stopped you in your tracks, arrested your attention to the point where you couldn't handle your problem, your situation, or you just felt so empty that you needed God to demonstrate how real he was. See, the whole purpose of preaching, the whole purpose for having a watchman is to get you ready to make it to heaven. I would fail if you don't make it all the way. This country is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Why is it everybody wants to come here if it's so bad? Not because we're better people, but because we recognize a great God. And God has blessed this country outside of the Bible. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are the two greatest instruments ever written because godly men wrote them while they were on their knees, putting God first before all things. They wanted a country that respected God and his word. They even declared a money should be printed with "In God We Trust." There are a lot of people who wish they could take that off because it reminds them that this country is founded on trusting God. America is so young yet rich and strong because God has blessed us. There's no other reason we aren't any better than any other nation except we've got a better God that blesses us because we're going down the old paths. We listen to God. Yet in recent years, we have experienced many troubles in our country. From financial crisis to unpredictable weather patterns to pandemic, could it be that we as a nation have strayed from the old paths? And that's why we're having problems like other nations. Jeremiah 6 and 21 says, God will lay stumbling blocks before his people because they would not maintain the old paths. Could God allow these things to happen to cause us to have a turnaround in our values, in our commitments? The same thing that could happen to the country can happen to us individually if we stray from the old paths and don't value the things that saved us. Have God's watchmen not sounding the alarm, and we can stray from what we knew was right to those that would tickle our ears. Turn to a very familiar scripture, 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 7. Most of you can quote this. Verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place, if we'll humble ourselves. Here God is speaking to his people who are called by his name, people who need a turnaround, a change in their life. Not that they didn't know God, but there isn't the same commitment to God that there once was. They're going in a wrong direction, and they need to make an about face. Go in a different direction again. And God saw a great potential in the Apostle Paul, but first there had to be a turnaround in his life. He had to get to the place where he said, what would you have me to do? Every one of us had to get to that place where we were ready to do an about face and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? I'm not satisfied with the norm. So turn to Acts, the 26th chapter. I don't know if I could do justice any other way than read the scripture. Verse number 1 of that 26th chapter says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. So he's in prison. He gets an opportunity to talk to the king, King Agrippa. And he says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Now, what can you be happy about? You're in prison, you know? Because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all of the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all of the Jews which know me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serve God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme and be exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw the way, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Somewhat our testimony. Here Paul was the worst of the worst. He really was. He hated Christians, brutalized everyone he could. He had served Jehovah all his life, but didn't know Jesus. I wonder how many people have served religion all their life, but didn't know God. Now, God can deal with people who are wrong about things that are right. But it's the apathetic that God has problems with, that already know him, but yet they would not hear. I've seen troublemakers try to destroy God's church or attack God's preachers, and I've asked God to intervene, and I never grab a dog by the ears because I know that's not a good thing. There's no sense in you fighting the battles that God has already ordained victory in. And God then turned their attitude around with calamities in their life. God took Paul, the murderer, and made him into a minister, the persecutor, and made him into a preacher. But it took a turnaround in the middle of a road. This whole Bible is about turning people around, turning them from darkness to light, to hating God, to loving God. Paul said, I now hate the things I used to love, and I love the things I used to hate. I don't understand it, but there's something that's changed within me. This whole nation needs a turnaround. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to pray. Yet people need to be more interested in the turnaround of their soul than the turnaround of the economy or the turnaround of politics. You can get so involved in politics, and 9/11 brought about a temporary turnaround. Most of us saw it. All of a sudden, people were aware of God and church and country. But instead of buying flags, we should have been buying Bibles. Some need a turnaround in their personal finances, yet first we must turn God's economy by tithing. There are marriages that need a turnaround, not by another seminar, not by a video, not by a marriage counselor, but when God steps in your face and gives you the ability to turn around and heal that which no man can heal, then we give God the credit, God the glory. Just about every one of us has a spiritual turnaround, and we well remember how it was, how it took place. It was miraculous. God may have seen your enthusiasm for the wrong things and thought there's potential for enthusiasm and talent for God. And he stepped in your face and gave you the ability to turn around. Unfortunately, because of our free will, God may have to step back in our path again because we start going in the wrong direction. And believe me, that's the mercy of God. I'm doing well, now I'm not doing well, and all of a sudden God has to arrest your attention like he did at the very beginning because he doesn't want to lose us. So turn to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, starting in verse 21. Balaam was a man of God. It says in verse 21, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him." So here's the deal. You probably know the story. You know, he was paid to curse Israel.
Right.
And God said, "Don't you do that." But he was offered this money that would bring him comfort, and he just couldn't avoid the temptation. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, and I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the prince of Balak. It's better to do what God said. I don't understand the value of someone who deliberately defies the word of God. Here Balaam's on his donkey getting ready to do the dumbest thing in the entire world. And God cares so much for that loony that he sends an angel to stop him and the donkey. The mercy of God. No, I'm not going to do it. You know, this is a continuation of Sunday morning, really. Why? So he could get turned around. Here is someone who knew God and talked to God, and yet he had to have a turnaround. If the donkey had not been more spiritual than the prophet, he'd have lost his life. Balaam was focused on what he could get rather than what God could give. And I think that's part of the problem in America. We're focused on what we can get rather than what can God give us. There are people here who need a turnaround in their personal health. Some suffer with pain, sickness, and setbacks, yet you still keep coming to church, and we keep praying for you. Are there any other options? Because you never know when all of a sudden the king of turnarounds walks into your life and says, today's the day. Right now. Not on a Wednesday. Can't happen on a Wednesday. Is there an attitude here that needs to be turned around? An addiction that needs to be turned around? A lifestyle that needs to be turned around? Every time I look in the mirror, I see what I used to be, but now I've turned around. And some were such a you, but now you're washed. You're sanctified. Yes, we all love God and we came to church tonight, but some haven't wept in a long time. Haven't felt that Shekinah glory of God. Part of camp is just that, a revival. I want to get back to the very beginning. Some haven't gotten excited about the things of God for a long time. We need a turnaround. I need to praise better. I need to give more. I need to be more passionate about souls, spend more time at the altar, spend more time in God's word. And all of those things add up to a turnaround to the point where, you know, I'm back. We need to drop off some things that we have had and those things that have held us hostage, like Hebrews 12 and 1 says. Not satisfied with just a Sunday morning service. We need to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank God that I have truth. Thank God that I'm saved every day. Appreciate what God has already done, like it was said at the very beginning of this service. I could have been in jail. I could have been in the hospital. I could have been in the cemetery. I was on my way to hell, and God stepped right in my path. And then I said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? We all need a turnaround. Well, just about once a day. I don't care how spiritual you are. You still need to turn around every day. It's called repentance. The word repentance means reversal, going in the opposite direction. It's just a turnaround. I'm no longer going to live the life I used to live, and now I'm going to live for you, God. And God's saying, great, now I can make your life easy. Jesus said in Luke 24 and 47, and that repentance, or a complete turnaround and remission of sin, should be preached in his name among all nations. Is there a Zacchaeus in the house tonight, sitting by himself up in a tree, watching what is going on in Pentecost, wondering, you know, I'd really like to be a part of that, but I don't think I qualify. You know, I know that I haven't been living for God, so I'll just sit up in a tree and I'll watch things go on. Jesus sees you. Jesus stops and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go home with you. There's nothing better than when Jesus says, I want to go home with you. In fact, I want to live in you. I can clean up that house. He's saying, I'd like to change you. I'd like to help your marriage. I'd like to help your children. I'd like to take that bitterness away because of disappointments you've had over the years. I'd like to heal your body. I'd like to heal your finances. I'd like to give you freedom. So that when you wake up in the morning, you don't have the same problems as you did when you fell asleep. If we're facing the wrong way, then it's as simple as turning around. God will help with the process, but it'd be so much easier if we voluntarily. When I was in the service, one of the first things they taught us is how to turn around. And everyone had to do it at the same time. That's what church is all about. We all come together and we turn around together. Amen. We face our problems, but we also face a God who can take care of all of those problems. Because God is saying, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Well, you can't seek God's face unless you're going in the right direction, you see, and turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land or their habitation, your sickness, your problems. I said Sunday morning that God built a special fish just for Jonah to turn around. It doesn't bother God that he puts you in a submarine in total isolation to get you to say, I think I'll turn around today. That's what it took. Seaweed around his head, complete darkness. Acid starting to turn your flesh a little different color, but he turned around. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31 and 18, turn thou me and I shall be turned. Anybody here going through a dry spell spiritually, don't raise your hands. From time to time, I could raise my hand. Dry spells aren't because God decided to leave you for a while. It's because we decided to leave God for a while. Dry spells aren't because of bad behavior. It's just you turned the wrong way for a while, going in the wrong direction. Like Balaam, I'm seeking something else. Don't bother me now, God. I'm seeking. I got this job, I got this relationship, I got this house, There's all kinds of things that can cause us to turn away from God and go in a different direction, and all of a sudden we're so dry we don't want to come to church anymore. Moses had a 40-year dry spell on the backside of the desert. And then there was this miracle of a burning bush that turned him around to see what it was. And then he heard the voice. The church is a burning bush. People come to see what the pyrotechnic is all about, and then all of a sudden they hear the voice of God. And God said, "It's time for a turnaround, Moses. You've been here too long. This is not your destiny." God never did bring up Moses' mistakes. I thought that today. You know, he never said, "Boy, you know, you killed that Egyptian, and you know, it just, we gotta take care of that first." No, he said, "No, just turn around." God wanted Moses to go in a different direction. I think he wants us to go in a different direction from time to time. God has designed a special turnaround for each of us. There are two elements that are needed for any business to have a turnaround. Businesses fail all the time. Small businesses, only maybe 20% of them really survive. But it's tragic when a large company worth millions or even billions of dollars fail. And there are really two elements that are needed for a business to have a turnaround. One is they need new leadership. The leadership isn't directing the company in a positive way. And the second is to pour funding and new capital into the business in order for it to thrive. The same is true for the church, for the individual lives in the church. Number one, let Jesus and his word lead us. New leadership. I'm not going to lead myself anymore. I want something from God to give me direction. And number two, and the pouring out of fresh capital, which is the Holy Ghost. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be directed by his word. And I'm going to seek God for more capital. I want more of the Spirit of God in order to direct me. And then we'll be successful, you see. Unfortunately, most businesses won't change leaderships, you know, or get new capital until they face bankruptcy. And I don't want to face spiritual bankruptcy to the point where I just stop coming to work. Church. God wants to invest his spirit into each and every one of us. It's the whole purpose for Calvary. And we can't wait until we are on the backside of a desert or in the belly of a whale or standing blind on the side of a road waiting for God to do a miracle in our lives. God wants America back. But first, he must have a turnaround of America's people with fresh oil and a new commitment to him. Going back to the old paths. It wasn't but maybe 50 years ago that everybody knew that they should be in church on Sunday. Today, America, what, 20% of people go to church at all? And what percentage of those people have full truth? What would happen if everybody would wake up in America and say, "I need God"? Glory to God. We wouldn't have to worry about global warming. We wouldn't have to worry about anything, because he's come to give us life, and life more abundantly. Life would be a joy. We would have peace. We would have comfort. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good? I'm not turning back. I've turned around for good. I'm not going in another direction, and there will be people and things that will persuade you to turn around and go in a different direction. But it'll only bring heartache and problems. And I want to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to wake up every morning excited about what God is going to do in my life. I want to get excited about I get to go to church. And if I am not excited about I get to go to church, then I need a turnaround. I need God to arrest my attention. Hallelujah. I don't want to wake up one morning and have my dog say to me, "Hey, you ought to go to church." And God could do that. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I think what God is trying to tell us tonight is, you know, you've been praying for something for a long time. Is there anything that would hinder your prayers? Because I want to answer them. I really do. I've said this before. When I was in high school, I used to run cross country. It was 2.5 miles. And I remember our coach saying that you should be running faster at the end of the race than at the beginning. And I believe that's true about our walk with God. We should be more determined at the end of the race. Thursday and Friday morning's teaching at camp was about the soon second coming of the Lord. Some incredible teaching. The insights. I believe it's very soon, folks. For those of you who still have plans to get things done, you have a whole lifetime ahead of you, don't worry about it. You won't feel bad about what you left behind here when you see what he's got in store for us up there. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?